God. The Lord bless each and every one. We do give everyone a warm welcome and our service in the name of the Lord. Let us turn to the book of Hebrews, and I won't try and keep this too long tonight. Let's just read one verse for our text. Praise God. Hebrews 7, verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your precious word of truth. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you'll answer all that's been prayed. And Lord, that you'll have your way tonight. And Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, and I take the promised Holy Ghost in Jesus' precious name. I ask that you'll bind every work of the devil. I pray you'll bless and strengthen your people. And for those that had to work tonight, Lord, bless them. For those that's laid aside sick tonight, recover them, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take for the text tonight, Christ as a surety. And I believe the main point is that Christ's priesthood is more excellent than the Levitical priesthood. And if you study the book of Hebrews, and I suppose I do read a lot in the book of Hebrews, and it goes into the priesthood a lot. And Christ's priesthood is a superior priesthood to the Levitical priesthood. And if you go back a few verses to verse 20, and you'll see that Christ's priesthood came in with an oath. And the Levitical priesthood never came in with an oath. And you remember when he preached about the oath, that he's bound to his own word. That he has to keep the word he gives because he's took an oath. You fellas that's in the orange know that you have to take an oath. And when you take an oath, you're bound to it. Or any other thing, you take an oath till you're bound to it. And Christ came in under an oath to this word, and he's bound to it, he keeps it. So when you read this book here, this is not like reading any other book. These are the words of God. Men of old were moved by the Holy Ghost, and they wrote these words because they were inspired by God to write them. These are God's word, and this is God's book. Now, this main point tonight is that Christ's priesthood is more excellent than the Levitical. And if you look at this phrase, by so much, in verse 20, by so much, let's just go back and read it in verse 20. And in so much as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord sware and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety. By so much. So we see this oath, and I don't want to go back into the oath tonight, but I want to get on with this point of the surety. Praise God. Which is established by an oath, and that which is established without an oath, so much excellent is Christ's priesthood than the Levitical priesthood. Now you know, you could take all the qualifications of the Levitical priesthood, not very many of us would qualify, you know. I might, because I'm bald. If your nose is a bit crooked, you're out. If you have a limp in the leg, you're out. If you weren't born of a certain lineage, you're out. So many things. But we're made now by Christ tonight. We're not coming by an earthly priesthood. This is a heavenly priest. Praise God. Aren't you glad for that? That the Lord takes you how you are. Bald head, crooked nose, crooked leg. He takes you how you are. Praise God. And not only does he take you how you are, brother. You might look at me tonight bald head, and I haven't lost one hair. But I'm getting every one of them back. For the Lord's going to give me a new body. A glorified body. Like unto his own glorious body. And oh, it's a real mess.
It's a mystery for me too. But I'm going to get it. Praise God. Amen. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal on immortality. Praise God. See, this Savior's high priest, he here calleth surety. Now, I want to take this word tonight. For the priest is for man and things pertaining to God. He stands betwixt a creditor and a debtor. Christ does. So Christ stands betwixt the creditor and the debtor, and we were all in debt, and we needed a creditor. We were in debt because we were fallen in sin. We were in debt because we couldn't save ourselves. But Christ stands as a creditor and the debtor. For he paid the price we couldn't pay. And we can now come without money to the Lord, which is part of a surety. The creditor and the debtor, which is part of the surety. Surety means one who undertaketh for another. So Christ has become our surety. He undertakes for another. He undertakes for me. And he undertakes for you. Christ does. I want to read you this quotation from the 7th Church Age book. What is there to fear? The judgment that fell upon him at the cross. This is Christ. At the grave, and when he descended, was for us. He absorbed the full brunt of the wound of sin, and there is therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8, to them which are in Christ Jesus. See, for the surety, our attorney is our judge. He is both attorney and judge. As judge, the case is settled, it is finished. There is now therefore no condemnation. Why should the church fear? What promise has he ever failed to manifest before us? Not one. Why should it fear punishment or death? It has all been overcome. Here is the almighty conqueror, Jesus Christ. He's our surety. Let's say we were to take sick and we did die. What about it? Really? What about it? Whether the Lord raised us up or he didn't, we're the Lord's anyhow. And if we die and go to the grave, we're absent from the body, and Paul says, present with the Lord, which is far better. But then we do have the hope from the Word of God that we can be healed. Mark 16 says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. James says, call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and pray over them, and prayer of faith will save the sick, and if they've committed sins, they'll be forgiven, and God will raise them up. So we know God can heal us. 1 Peter 2:24, he his own self bore our sins on his own body, that we being dead to sins might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. The Lord can heal us. But even if the Lord doesn't heal us, we're still saved. And though this body goes to the dust or goes to the grave, what does it really matter? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? You see, there's no defeat really for the believer. Because Christ is your surety, the judgment that was coming to you and coming to me, and remember we were guilty of it, because God, being a just God, has to carry all out his justice. And to do that, sin can't come before God, but Jesus Christ took God's wrath at the cross, which we should have took. And he took our place, and he became our surety. But he's only your surety when you accept him. He only becomes your surety if you know him as your Savior and your Lord. If you're without Christ tonight, you're still under God's wrath. You're still under God's judgment. For the Bible says, him that hath the Son of life, him that hath not the Son, hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. So we want God as our surety tonight, don't we? And we thank God when we're saved we have him. Now I want to just take this word from a couple of scriptures, just the phrase of the word surety. It's not really much to do with it. Genesis 15 verse 13. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall be afflicted 400 years. Now you can take this Bible, you can search that out, and you know what happened. Because God said, So when God says a surety, it's going to happen. It's as good as going to, it's as good as done. It's going to take place.
The only reason I'm reading this is, you know, when God says it, God will do it. And God did do it. And you know that the children of Israel, which was down from Abraham's seed, was in Egypt for 400 years and suffered persecution. And they'd done all types of evil on them. Do you know, if you really studied it, did you ever really think about it? Down in Egypt, they never fed them the way they were fed. They gave them work and then increased the work. And when they made the bricks for the mortar and so forth, and you know they took the straw off them, and then they made them go out into the fields and search for the straw. If you've ever seen the film, The Ten Commandments, it's fairly accurate, not all of it, but it is still good enough to get the picture of it. But then the Bible says that the women of Israel bear their children easier than the Egyptians, because God was with them. Did you know it says that? The Lord was with them. Even though they were in bondage, even though all this came about, God had already told Abraham it's going to happen. But remember, God also said, I'll bring them out with a mighty hand. No of a surety.
In Acts 12 verse 11 it says, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel. Perhaps he thought he was dreaming, but when he came to himself, he knew of a surety the Lord had sent his angel and have delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. He knew of a surety. A surety, a guarantee. A person who has made himself responsible for another. Christ has made himself responsible for you and for me. You say, now how is that? Because he assumed full and total responsibility at Calvary. The very moment you call upon the Lord, he'll answer you and he'll save you. For my Bible says in Romans, in the book of Acts, in the book of Joel, three different books in the Bible, it says, it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God. Jesus took this responsibility at Calvary. Listen now. This office has surely been implied to Christ, showing that he hath so far engaged himself for us, as he neither can nor will give up on his engagement. Earth may sooner be removed than he not perform his engagement. He hath undertaken for all that can be required of us or desired by us. There is another word applied to Christ and translated mediator. So not only is Christ our surety, but Christ is also our mediator. A mediator is one that goes between two. You could never go to God except for Christ. But Christ had to come. God sent his Son into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And it's through God's Son we can come to the Father. We can only come to the Father through Christ. We can't come to the Father through the Pope or through an earthly priest or even through a minister. A minister only can point you to the Word of God and to Christ, but never to himself if he does his faults. He only can point you to one Savior. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, this mediator. Christ stands between God and man to declare God's will to man. As surety. Praise God. He engages himself for man to God and for God to man. I want you to read that again. He engages himself for man to God and for God to man. For man to God and for God to man. So it's through Christ that you can pray to God, and it's through Christ that God can come to you. Only through Christ. Because the Bible says in Jesus Christ the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth. You see, the Bible says that God transcended. God lowered himself a little lower than the angels. He took upon himself the form of a man.
even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ was God Himself manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil, and He became your surety.
You're from on the sure tonight. There's nothing out there that's sure. Your car's not even sure. I don't care what make it is. I've had many different types of cars. I've asked different people when I buy a car, what about this make? And no, they'll all tell you.
They said, Tom, they're all the same.
You could get this particular model, it would be brilliant. You could get another one, break your heart. There's no such thing as saying you can buy a certain model and it'll never give trouble. Any of them could give trouble. It's not right. But Christ is sure. There's nothing in this world sure. You could have a close friend, but that close friend could let you down. Nothing sure in this world, but Christ is. He's your surety. Praise God. For God to man, listen, He undertaketh for what can be desired of God. Two things are required of man. A perfect fulfilling of all righteousness according to the tenor of the law. That's what God requires. We could never do that. All of us broke the law somewhere. If you took the Ten Commandments tonight, but on the streets every man would fail. You ever told a lie? You ever stole? It's only two things. Most people fail in them too. Well, the wee whitened, then you're a liar. If you've ever told one lie, you're a liar. The Bible calls you a liar. So you see, me and you of our own strength, of our own righteousness, we could never fulfill this law. But God required it. God required it. But Christ was able to fulfill it. Christ fulfilled the law. It was only man could do it. A perfect fulfilling of all righteousness according to the tenor of the law. Here's the other point. Full satisfaction for every transgression. So God requires that you fulfill the law, and God requires full satisfaction for every transgression. That's what the Old Testament requires. None of us could do that. But Christ could. For my Bible says He knew no sin, and He had no sin, neither was guile found in Him. Jesus Christ not only fulfilled the law, but Jesus Christ was a sinless, spotless, blameless Lamb of God. He had no sin. No sin from His birth till He went to the cross. Never once did Christ sin. He couldn't sin. He was God Himself manifested in flesh to destroy the works of the devil. And because Christ had no sin, and because Christ could not sin, Jesus Christ became our righteousness, so that we in Him have this assurance through the Lord Jesus Christ. Fulfill the law. He appeased God. In other words, Jesus Christ satisfied a holy God. We could never satisfy a holy God with our lives because we were sinners born in sin, sheep in iniquity. But Jesus Christ wasn't born in sin. He wasn't sheep in iniquity. But He is born the sinless, spotless, blameless Lamb of God. He has satisfied God. And He became our assurance. Now listen to this. That Christ might fulfill all righteousness. He was made under the law. Let me read you some scriptures. And I'm only going to be short tonight, giving you a short little message. And I want you really to listen. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son made of a woman under the law." Made of a woman under the law. You see, when you take this phrase, made of a woman, that lets you know that he took on Himself the form of a man. He was every bit like you are, every bit like we were, like I am, because you have to be tempted and tried in every single point that any man can be tempted and tried in. Christ was tempted, Christ was tried in every point and overcome them all, so that He could And you know, you can, me and Brother Regis was talking about it a few weeks ago, you can get the part that's not for your make of a vehicle. It'll go on there. But it doesn't last as long as the original part. It's a counterfeit, or whatever you want to call it. Not the genuine part. Looks like it fits in, it's near enough the same, it's as close as you can get to it. But the genuine part will last longer. But then I want you to think of even the genuine part, as far as man's touched, it'll still feel. For else you'd never need a part put on there. But this man, Christ, is God manifested in flesh, can never fail. Never fail. So true is the wee song, he never failed me yet. Everywhere I go, I want the whole world to know Jesus Christ never failed me yet. Made of a woman. Made of a woman, made under the law. By a voluntary subjection of himself thereunto, he stepped into it. Oh, he fulfilled it all. I tell you, he was able to do it. Matthew 3 and verse 15 says this. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. So the Lord came to fulfill all righteousness. Don't think when Christ came, yes, he abolished the law, but he also fulfilled it. He fulfilled the law. Then it was abolished in Christ. Do you know why? Because he's superior to it. You understand what we're saying here? Doesn't mean now that them words are dead. They're not. They're still the words of God. But God's brought us on further to the more superior testament. This is the New Testament we're under, not the old. It's more superior. We don't come and have a priest that enters in for us once every year, but this man entered in once for all. With his own blood, not with the blood of others, but with his own blood, entered in once for all before the holy throne of God and was accepted. And God was appeased, and he became our surety. Romans 5 and 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So because of the first Adam, you and me were made sinners. That's who you have to blame. Don't blame your mom and dad, that nothing to do with it. It's the first Adam that fell. The Bible clearly says sin entered into the world by one man, and death because of sin. But then the Bible talks about the second Adam. You know that? The Lord from heaven, the second Adam, or the second man. Well, I say the second Adam, but you know what I mean. He is. Let me read you it again. For as by one man's disobedient Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now this man, Jesus Christ, was not off the earth, but he was from heaven. The Lord from heaven. We heard the other week about the gold and the silver and the precious stones. And you know, when you've been to the colours in the Bible, they're wonderful. Because the blue speaks of the heavens, and the blue speaks to me as the Lord from heaven. And I thank God he's from heaven. No defilement upon him. No sin. But perfect. You see, when people try to put any other man alongside Jesus, it fails from birth. Are you following me here? Every other man that you try to put alongside Jesus, whether it's Buddha, Muhammad, the Pope, the priest, a prophet, I don't care who it is, it fails right away from birth. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but Christ didn't. So he stands out alone as the one and only perfect one and sinless one. And his righteousness becomes our righteousness when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we need his righteousness. Romans 4 is the chapter of imputation. And Romans 4 tells us that God freely given to us. The moment we were saved and accepted Christ, God gave us His righteousness, for ours was no good.
And the Bible called ours filthy rags. But God was pleased with Christ's righteousness. And His righteousness has now become our righteousness.
2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin.
Tell me another man that you can read this about. Tell me another man that's born of a woman in your Bible or in the history books outside of Jesus Christ and Adam. Because Adam wasn't born of a woman. God made him. And before the fall, he had no sin. That's why he's a type of Christ.
You following me tonight? But you see, the enemy came in and sin came.
And Adam stepped into it, knowing what he'd done. But God had a plan. God always has a plan. He knows the end from the beginning. And the plan of this whole Bible is Calvary. It's God's plan of redemption. That's the plan of this whole book. I don't care where you start in this book. I don't know whether it's just me, but I can go to any single book in this Bible and I'll see the cross.
Amen.
That's what I'm looking for, you see.
Yes, amen.
I'm not looking for nothing else. I was hearing a man talking about, you know, how long the earth was made and all, and I listened to him and he spoke well. You know what I thought to myself? What about it? You could argue over it, is it 6,000 years or a million years and all the rest of it. What about it? It's not the gospel.
You understand what I'm saying? There could be a brother might agree with me on some issues on a scripture here or there. You know, you could say there's room for debate. But it won't save nobody. But the cross will. You see, the devil's cute. I'm telling you, he can have you waste your time trying to prove things. They might be true, but are they effective in the saving of souls and the blessing of God's people? Are they effective? Now, I believe the world, the way the Bible says it, 6,000 years, you know the way God says it, but you could argue form and void, and it was billions of years before that. You could argue that.
And some people believe in the gap theory and some people don't believe in the gap theory. But is it so important? You see, you've won me victory, you're working with, but when you look at the plan of redemption, you're working with the whole Bible. But I will say this, Genesis is a seed chapter for the whole of this book. That's why the devil hates it. Now, when a man takes it,
creation, to deal with evolution, I'm all behind it. We need men like that can do that. And there's men gifted to do it. And I'm all for that. Amen. Don't you agree?
Yes, amen.
We need that. Praise God.
For He hath made Him to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Through Christ. Our assurity. Here's my second thought. And this is the last thought. I'm closing after this.
That Jesus might make full satisfaction for our sins.
Full satisfaction.
You see, the Old Testament really wasn't full satisfaction. Do you know that? Because you could take the... You know, I was thinking the other day, I read, you know, they say that the pigeon came from the turtle dove, or the rock dove, right? This is what they say. But I don't know if I agree with that anymore or not. Because I'll tell you why. This just came... I know it's maybe nothing to do with what I'm preaching. But the Bible says pigeons way back here. Undoves, separate. And I know on the ark, there was a dove. Maybe it didn't mention pigeons on the ark, but then maybe the pigeon come that. But you know, when you go back in history, the Egyptians had pigeons, and the Israelites had pigeons, for they sacrificed them to the Lord. Pigeon games go a long time. Noah started it first on the ark. I told a fella one day. He released the bird to go out and it came back. And the one that didn't come back found dry land. That right? That brought the wee twine back, wasn't it? The bride.
It's not a good bird, you know, when it doesn't come back to you. You never would breed off it. But In this case, God was sending the bird out of its found somewhere it could land. You know, in that handsome ashes, the dove have nowhere to rest its foot. So we come back. We could take a whole message in that. But you see what I'm saying tonight is they took the turtle dove, they took the pigeon, they took the bullock, and all these animal sacrifices. And you remember when Brother Brian preached it so wonderfully, he showed us how many gallons of blood it would have filled. Was it 24 tankers? 24 massive tankers of blood when they did their sacrifice. Now I might be wrong. Maybe I'm not right in that, but it was a massive, it's hundreds and thousands of gallons, I could safely say, what they did when they made the sacrifices here in Egypt or in the Jews. But you see, Christ threw his blood from one man was more powerful than all that, for I'll tell you why. That blood covered sin for a season. Then all them gallons had to be done again. And it covered sin for a season. But it never once cleared the conscience. It couldn't. And it took a prophet of God in the 20th century to come and tell us something very important. The only man I ever heard preach it, William Branham. He said the blood shed broke on the cross and the very life of God was released to the church. The Holy Spirit, that's the life of God, was released to the church. Then when we go into Hebrews, we see that the blood of Christ clears the conscience. The blood animals could never do that. You know why? There was no soul that could come back. No life could come back. The blood was shed. It did congeal. It did dry up. The blood of those animals. But Christ's blood never congealed. Christ's blood never dried up. Because it was unique blood. Special blood. God's own blood. And because it was God's own blood, it's the power of God's Spirit within it. It's the power of God's healing within it. The power of salvation within it. All within the blood of Jesus Christ. And it clears the conscience. My, I'll tell you, you know that's what's wrong with men when they're not seeing. Your conscience is never cleared. You know, I remember well laying in a bed in jail. And all the sins I'd ever committed was like watching television. They just kept coming before me. And I'm telling you, I was troubled. You say, but that would never happen to me, you're a liar. For you're as big a sinner as I was. Isn't that the truth? Now don't take it wrong with me saying that. All have sinned. There's no such thing as we small sinners and big sinners. All are sinners in God's eyes. All have broken God's law. All have broken God's commandments. And all of us are sinners. But I tell you, I needed my conscience cleared. And the blood of Christ done it. I was thinking of that fella I talked to the other day. I've talked to him before. And he was ready to jump out the window. Well, I'll tell you, when the devil had me like that, I just slipped onto my knees. And I prayed to the Savior. And something happened. And thank God, like old Nicholson said, momentarily, instantly, suddenly, born again. Knowingly, born again. By the Spirit of Almighty God, transformed from a child of the devil to the child of the King. The Bible says, a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. When God saves a man, he changes him. Don't tell me he doesn't, for he does. He changes him. The Bible says he's a new creature in Christ Jesus. All because Christ has become our surety. I tell you, Jesus made full satisfaction for our sins. Look at Galatians 3 and 13 says, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I tell you, he breaks curses. I'm telling you. You know there's people, there's curses on the family. There's curses and lots of things, but Jesus Christ breaks them. The cross breaks them. The power of the gospel breaks them. The power of the blood destroys them. All curses, family curses and hereditary curses, of
Jesus Christ. I tell you, that's God's plan of deliverance, the cross. There's no other message, there's no other plan but Jesus Christ and the power of His blood breaks all curses. He took the curse that came on man. The very day Adam disobeyed, death came and sin entered in. Death by sin. And the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Remember, no death up to this point, but sin brought death. Sin produces death. But Jesus Christ had no penalty of sin upon Him. Are you hearing me? Follow me for a moment. The penalty of sin is death, but Jesus has no sin, so death has absolutely no claim on Jesus. None. It has on every man, but none on Jesus, because he had no sin. Death couldn't take him. Death had no right to take him. That's why your Bible says he freely gave his life a ransom for many. He stepped into death. He dismissed the spirit. That's what he said. He yielded up the ghost. Stepped into death. Not only did he step into death, he conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. And God raised him from the dead on the third. That means victorious over death, over hell, and over the grave. That's why Paul could say in Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I think it's from verse 55. I tell you, Christ took it at the cross. We should have no fear of death, because Christ has dealt death the death blow. Life and death met on the cross. Death died. Life conquered. I tell you, that's why he's my surety tonight. Because death had no claim on him. And now I'm living this life by his life. That's what Paul says. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how I'm living. Listen while I read you Romans 5, verse 12. And I'm closing after I read this. And you wouldn't believe it, it's near 8 o'clock. The proper time. And I've done a belly with you. Praise God. He's following with me. Romans 5. Let's read verse 12. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Let me read it again. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, that's Adam, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now how can you take the scripture here and ever again put any other human being that's born of a woman alongside Christ? You cannot. You can't do it. Never. Never! Are you hearing me tonight? You never can do it. Because Jesus Christ is the only one that can stand in here. Let me read the 18 and 19. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Buddha, Muhammad, the whole lot. And the Pope along with them. All men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ. The free gift came upon all men. Where's your limited atonement there? No, you can't put it in here. Don't add to this book. Don't take from it. God knows who'll be saved, but you leave that to God. For none of us are God. Some fellas would tell us there's only a certain amount the blood can save. I tell you, brothers, I don't believe that. I believe there's power in the blood of Jesus.
My Bible says, even after the rapture, who are these that come out of great tribulation? Robed in white.
Yes.
Does your Bible read like that? After the rapture?
Yes.
They come out of tribulation. I tell you, that's because of the power of the blood.
Yes.
Now I know they're going to have their heads cut off. We know that. But still God gives them the grace to do it. And you know the Jews will hear the same gospel message that we're hearing during that tribulation time. Moses and Elijah is going to preach to them the same gospel. William Branham preached, said it. And I believe it with all my heart. And they're going to have the same gospel preached to them. So by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men on the justification of life. Justification of life. To be justified means as though you never done it in the first place. And let me read you verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That was the first Adam. There's where it come from. There's where it started. Don't go back and say, well, my dad smoked a pipe and that's why I have my problems. That's nonsense. Adam is where your problem come from. Adam's where my problem come from. And I don't mean Adam in the meeting. I mean Adam in the Bible. You know what I mean? That's where it all came from. And that's where your father and mine and their fathers before them. That's where all the trouble come from. Adam. People get hung up. You know, I feel to deal with this tonight. I feel in my spirit tonight. Listen to me carefully. Our brother has to go early. But don't you worry about that. You see, somebody's in this room tonight. I'm just going to be straight out of it. I want to deal with this for a moment. My brother told me he had to go earlier to do a message, so. And I'm near finished. See, you can get into your concept and get into your thinking. That now you see, there's certain problems I'm having, and my grandfather's a fault, or my grandmother's a fault, and the devil can use that. And I want to tell you, if you've come to the cross and you've made a full confession of your sin before Jesus Christ and you're born again, your problems are gone. For Christ clearly says here, took your curse. He took the curse. And I tell you, rid yourself of the fear of the past. And come to the cross. For Jesus lifts every curse. Do you hear me tonight? Listen to this. So by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men under the justification of life. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. There's the other point, for no man can stand beside Jesus. They weren't obedient enough. Take whatever one you want. What one will you take, Adam? He failed. Now don't say these things to discredit any of these minds. I'm showing you this to put Christ above them all. And you have to do that. Moses failed. Should have spoke to the rock. He's hit it. Not right. God even told him, you'll not see the promised land. You'll have to go up the mountains and die. God buried him. David failed. All of them disobeyed somewhere. Look at William Branham, the greatest prophet in the 19th century. You know what they wrote? What the church leaders wrote about William Branham. They said there's none in modern times had the ministry of that of William Morian Branham. It was like that of the prophets of the Old Testament. Now we know that's the truth. No other ministry was like it in these end times, because we know he was a prophet sent from God. But he says himself he disobeyed God. All of us at some point have done it. But you see, this man Jesus obeyed the Father. He was tempted and tried in every point, and he obeyed God. He never failed once. He never sinned once. He was on a mission, and he fulfilled the mission completely to the satisfying of God. Now he's our righteousness. And I'm closing the night.
He's the one we're going through. He's the way to God. The only way to God is through Christ. You can't come to God through the church. You can't come to God through an organization. You can't come to God through saying some wee sayings of any religion. The only way to God is God's provided way. And God's provided way is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can come unto me except my Father draweth him. And no man can know him save to him that through the Son will reveal him. Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Only by calling upon the name of the Lord are you saved. How simple is that? You don't need to go to Bible college. You don't need to learn volumes of books. It's so simple a child could come and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And not just saved for this meeting, but saved for tonight and for all time and for all eternity. Saved forever through the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad tonight for that? Let's come and bow our heads tonight. Maybe our sister could come and to the organ. Praise God. I want to ask every head bowed and every eye closed. Young person in this service, this is your opportunity to call upon the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or come to the front or anything, but I want you to seriously consider in your chair tonight Jesus Christ as your own Savior. And I want you to come up and call upon the name of the Lord where you're sitting. The Bible says if you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, and into your life he'll come. Come in today and he'll come in to stay. All you have to say, save me now, Lord Jesus. Cleanse me in your blood. Wash me in the precious blood of the Lamb. And Christ will save you. And you'll never be the same again. The only regret I have in life is that I didn't serve the Lord sooner. I tell you, I wish that I knew the Lord sooner. Come to Christ. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Lord, your gospel needs no prop-up, no instrument of man. But your gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, when we preach the gospel, you have promised that you'll save. Lord Jesus, save souls tonight. Oh Lord, back up your own word. In Jesus' precious name, confirm your word to hearts and lives tonight. Lord, if there's someone in this meeting that's worried about a family curse, may they turn it over to Calvary tonight. And under the blood of Jesus Christ, may every hereditary family curse be broke in the powerful name of Jesus Christ tonight. I come against every work of the devil, every spirit of infirmity, and I bind it over the people tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Touch my brother tonight. Touch my sister tonight. Touch that young boy tonight. Touch that young girl tonight. Touch my dad at home tonight. Touch Sammy in hospital tonight. Touch Billy tonight. Touch Debbie tonight. Oh God, grant it, I pray. In
Jesus Christ. Lord, when we look into this book, all we want to see is Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, God's mighty plan of redemption unfolded. The red scarlet thread of the blood mark of Calvary that stains the pages of this book. Lord, we want to see the cross. We want to see the Lamb of God, for we know there's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Oh, look, sinner, look unto him and be seen, unto him who died on the tree. Father, encourage your own people tonight. Strengthen them, I pray. Bless your word now to our hearts. We ask it in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.